Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Hi, everybody. Whoa.
That's the most I can do, though. We'll get in
right,
trouble.
Right, though. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, that sounds...
Maybe I do want to get in trouble.
Okay.
Maybe some trouble would do me good.
Okay. I mean, trouble.
Pop-o-matic bubble.
Ooh. Trouble. Pop-o-matic bubble. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's fun getting into trouble.
Yeah,
I remember
it is.
Those commercials. We're aging ourselves.
Yeah, we are. Oh. We're old. They know.
Yeah.
They know.
I got a movie.
Do you?
2007, No Country for Old Men.
Buckle up, Cliff.
Yeah, no, we didn't set that up either. Yeah, so I watched this on 1/22, 2024. It is 2 hours and 2 minutes long. It's a crime thriller directed by the Coen brothers, of course. That'd be Joel and Ethan. Starring Javier Bardem in kind of his big breakout.
For
this
sure.
was it. This was the one. Tommy Lee Jones in Not That for Him.
No.
And Kelly MacDonald along with Josh Brolin, of course.
Of course.
In this one, you got Woody Harrelson popping up in there, too.
Yep, that's right.
Stephen Root comes into play.
Love me some Stephen Root.
Oh, yes. This is a good one.
This is a very divisive film.
Is it?
I think so. I think people either love or hate it.
Wow. Well, I don't want to talk to people who hate it.
No. Sorry, Cliff.
Yeah, get out of here, Cliff. You screwed up.
Stupid old Cliff.
Go watch Mortal Kombat. I'm just kidding, Cliff. Mortal Kombat's not as bad as I give it credit for sometimes. That remake of Mortal Kombat, though.
Well.
Summary for this movie, though, that is not that. Violence and mayhem ensue after a hunter stumbles upon the aftermath of a drug deal gone wrong and over $2 million in cash near the Rio Grande.
That's right.
This movie I saw in the theater originally, and I am watching it again and reviewing it here as part of Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge. I'm Jared and I love alphabets. Yeah.
I think that...
it pops this in. Would... That's all that matters. I broke Sam. Sorry.
She's like, when Jared get here, that sounded just like him.
It was just like him.
Just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie brings everybody together. We got Jared here. We got Cliff here.
Yeah.
Got just feeling the love here.
All the loves.
But I got to see this in the theater and it blew me away. This was early on in me really diving into the body of work of the Coen brothers. So I could definitely see this skewing me slightly in how I view it because I thought this movie was just awesome. It's based on a Cormac McCarthy novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is just, if you're not familiar with Cormac McCarthy, it gets bleak.
Sure.
That is what Cormac McCarthy, also another adaptation of his was The Road.
Yes.
With Viggo Mortensen, which is a movie I'm glad I watched by myself. And a lot of crying in that one for me.
Yeah, it's a sad.
It's a sad, and it's about a father-son relationship, which is always tough for me. And this one is just awesome. It blew me away at how bare bones, how gritty, how like they just stripped away a lot, and it's just a very straightforward telling of this story.
Mm-hmm.
It's super duper simple. There's just this psychopath who's chasing Josh Brolin, who found a bunch of drug money, and he's chasing him down in order to recover the drug money, and that's it. But that's all there is to it. Other groups are trying to stop the intercede in the works, as often the case when there's drugs and drug money involved.
For sure.
And it is just tense, it's gripping, and you have on the other side of it Tommy Lee Jones and his deputy who are trying to chase down the Javier Bardem character who's hunting down Josh Brolin. So it's this very cat and mouse style movie, but it also has a lot to say about life, death, what we do with our life, what the mark we're trying to make on the world is. Like, it has a lot to say about the concepts of good and evil, right and wrong, and it's a nice meditation in between the set pieces, which are as good as the Coen brothers I think have ever delivered.
It's super good. I really enjoy the Javier Bardem's character with the cattle gun, essentially.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What a cool idea.
Oh, so scary.
Very scary.
Very scary.
He's so unassuming, I guess. I don't know. It's like
it's
look at him.
Bad haircut.
It's a bad haircut.
Bad haircut.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's just like,
you watch him just walk up and just put this little thing to this dude's head with a tank attached to it and just ka-tunk.
Yep.
And it's done.
It's over.
What they use to essentially kill cattle before they harvest them for their delicious meats.
That's right.
Yeah. So they just poop, just pops them in the head. And that's what when you first see him. And then you see him plaguing somebody later on at a gas station with that very tense coin flip scene.
Well, what do you think, friendo?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
He is amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Don't put it in your pocket. Where do you want me to put it? Anywhere but your pocket. It's your lucky coin. It's just like, it's so good. Like, it's just like, and it's just like, it's so scary. That's like, well, I need to know what we're calling it for. Everything. It's like, oh my God. Like, it's just so scary. It's so tense. He's just, and the scene with him and Woody Harrelson later on, the scene with him and Josh Brolin's wife in the movie is super good. And like, he just, he's so, such a strange character, kind of just being this bringer of death. Like, you can tell he doesn't, there's no right or wrong to it for him. He's just, this is what I do. I believe he did. I'm not 100%, but I know he was nominated.
Yeah, he was, I mean,
so scary in this
movie. What a breakout role.
Yeah. Anton Chigurh was the character, and it's just awesome, awesome stuff. And it's so good. There's no music in this movie outside of one little tiny scene with a mariachi.
Oh, yeah.
There's no music in this movie. Weird. None whatsoever. So that's what, like, the way they chose to strip everything down to the barest bones of this movie and just, like, we're going to tell this story the grittiest, most stripped down, and we just want to get to the brasses of tacks, I think is really cool.
They kept it blood simple?
Blood simple.
Uh-huh.
Blood simple. I mean, this has a shotgun with a silencer on it that makes the coolest sound.
Yes.
Like, it's just, this movie's got every, if you want, like, a really gritty, tense thriller, I think that this really fits the bill, and you're not going to do much better than the Coens, in my opinion. Sorry, Cliff.
Sorry, Cliff.
IMDb gives it an 8.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomato critics, 291 critics, 93%. The audience of 250,000 plus, given an 86%.
Yeah.
And I come in a touch higher than everybody with a 9.5 out of 10 for this movie.
Very exciting.
Yeah, this movie's great.
Yeah, I think people love it or hate it based off the ending.
Yep.
But I think the ride is great. I like the ending.
I think the end is, the point is to wrap up the allegory of the story.
Right. It definitely is.
I agree. Yeah. That's cool.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suck it, Cliff.
Sorry, Cliff.
Ooh, this is the anti-Cliff episode.
It's yeah. Give me the worst movies, Cliff.
Well, I got a movie.
Ooh. How does Cliff think about it? Or what does Cliff think about it?
I don't actually know, but I'm sure he doesn't hate it.
Cliff, how do?
Hi, Cliff. I watched 1999's The Boondock Saints,
which we've talked about a bunch. I bet Cliff would like this movie.
I think so. I think it's in his wheelhouse. I just don't know how high he would score it. But we've talked about this movie 1,000 times, and I feel like, wait, we didn't do this. Let's do this.
This might come out near St. Patrick's Day.
It may. Ooh, boy. Maybe.
Maybe. It may be a little after. It might be a touch.
Little after. Well, you know what? We're still in that mood, in that zone.
Yep. We'll still pinch you.
I don't need a reason.
No, I'll pinch anybody.
That's right.
I have a method for pinching that I learned from a roommate of mine in college, and it hurts like hell.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Especially if you hit a nerve.
It'll give you a blood blister.
Yes, it will.
And I've gotten many.
Yeah, that's for funsies.
Oh,
The Boondock Saints. I've watched this on the 7th of February, 2024. It's an hour 48 action crime thriller.
This is a gritty episode.
It's very gritty. It's going to get weirder.
I guarantee it.
Directed by Troy Duffy, starring Willem Dafoe, Sean Patrick Flannery, and Norman Reedus.
Oh, yeah. Young versions of all three of them.
Yes, they all definitely... Well, I mean, Willem Dafoe has already done a billion D things, but the other two, definitely.
Yep.
Sean Patrick Flannery needed another movie. He was powder. He hit with powder.
Yep.
Norman Reedus was not yet the monster that he would become.
No, not the superpower he is now.
That's right. IMDb movie summary. Two Irish Catholic brothers become vigilantes and wipe out Boston's criminal underworld in the name of God.
They do.
What a cool movie. A cool concept of a movie.
This is like the coolest cool movie.
Yeah. This is like, I want to make a cool movie. Well, this is what you would make.
Yes.
For sure.
Yep.
This movie was plagued by problems when it was getting made. It was delayed for years. It had so much trouble. And finally, when it got its core audience years later, probably way after this.
Oh, way after, yeah.
I would say probably mid-2000s is when it probably got a good release.
This was like the blockbuster darling. Like,
yes.
Everybody who saw this movie that's our age probably knew somebody who worked in a blockbuster who recommended this movie.
Right. And I think it harkens back feel-wise to like things like The Crow and things that like we really liked in the earlier 90s.
Yes.
And I think it does a good job. It's got a religious undertone. Willem Dafoe is amazing in this.
He is.
He's definitely chewing the scenery.
Yep.
And he is trying to track down the two brothers, and he's trying to bring them to justice. And there is a point in the movie where he's like, I don't know that they're wrong. And that's a big theme of this. It's like, yes, they're murdering. Murder is bad. And they're doing it in the name of God. That's also bad. But they're murdering bad people.
Right.
So they're making Boston more safe for everybody. So is it bad?
Right. I like how they intercut like the documentary seeming footage, yes, the newscast stuff where people are just like, I love these guys. I think they're great.
The whole ending of the credits is that.
Yeah.
Featuring people like, no, don't say that. Your mother will see this.
Yeah.
Like it's, why do you think that? It's like you see people very split on that.
Vigilantism, I mean, the reason it's so compelling and we've seen it so many times in comics and movies is because I think that everybody can have an opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Even no matter how uninformed, because it's one of the lessons you learn as a kid is right and wrong.
Right.
And then that really vigilantism kind of takes you, walks up to you and goes, now I wanted to skew that line of right and wrong. And I want you to tell me what you think about right and wrong after I present this to you.
Right. And this is one of the more wild movies.
Knife puppy.
She's like, that fucking squirrel's out there again.
Thank you.
Good job. It's a very nice squirrel, I'm sure. This movie is a blast. It definitely goes back and forth. It does the classic Tarantino thing of going back and forth in time, but I like how they use it in this movie, where the brothers will, right before you get to see what happens, it goes to Willem Dafoe, who's the cop chasing them, and it'll tell you what he thinks. And he's usually pretty spot on. There is occasional moments where he's wrong.
Yeah.
But not like in a big way. And it's kind
cool.
of fun where he's like, well, this would make sense. And like something crazy will happen. And he'll psychoanalyze it. And he's like, oh, we got some cowboys here. We got gunslingers. Because they're doing this. This is some movie shit. Like nobody does this.
We're about one guy, six guns.
Right.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah. I like that. I like that the one guy keeps being super wrong. And so he keeps making him go pick him up breakfast.
Go get him a baby.
Yeah. It's like, it's so good. And just because the brothers are also like doing something they genuinely believe to be right, and you sympathize with them so much.
Right.
And then you have the unsung hero of the movie up to the point in this review, which is David Dellarocco as Rocco.
Yes, he's very good.
He's such a good, like,
he is that friend. Everybody has a friend like that too.
Yeah. He's just such a good mob whipping boy. Like he's just, he's so good at it.
You're a funny man. Tell me a joke.
Yeah.
Now tell me another.
Oh, yep. That's so rough. That scene is so brutal to watch. Ron Jeremy in that movie, too.
Yes, Ron Jeremy, yeah.
A good casting choice of him, which is one of the rare times I can say that and like really mean it, but he's so good in that role.
Yes, he's very good in this.
And like, it's just the fun they have when it does the flashbacks where they get into a fight over the rope.
Get your fucking rope.
Yeah, that's real good. The mask that Rocco has where he just cut holes in it and they're calling him Mushmouth from the Cosby Kids.
He definitely looks like it.
It's so, like, those parts are so good when he shoots the cat.
Oh my God, the cat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I killed your fucking cat.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Just, what was his name?
I'll blow my brains out right now if you could tell me that fucking cat's name.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You
can't. Yep. He's just so... When it happens, he's like, I was loaded. Like, there's just so... The reason it's good is because it's so memorable.
It is. It definitely is. It's a cool, sleek movie.
You're not going to see anything like it. Even the sequel.
No.
Don't see the sequel.
I went to the theater for the sequel. I remember being very excited.
Julie Benz is in it. That's something.
It's something, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a third one at some point.
I'm sure McDuffie could use another payday, I'm sure.
And I'm sure I'll still go to it.
Yeah.
Because, you know... Sean Patrick Flannery needs me.
He does. He appreciates you. He was great in Dexter, in all fairness.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, that's about it. I mean, that's the basic gist of this movie. It's a fun vigilante movie. It's got a cool, sleek coat of paint on it.
It really does.
Not the greatest thing you'll ever see, but it is fun. So that being said, Max, we're going to play the critic game here, because I feel like this is the perfect movie to kind of discuss here.
I agree.
IMDb, they actually gave it a pretty high score. They gave it a 7.7.
That sounds right.
The critics of Rotten Tomato, there's 31 of them. What do you think?
61%.
26%.
Holy shit.
They hated this.
Somebody, it feels like those critics went into this movie with like, people, I'm setting the record straight, this movie sucks and people are stupid. And that's a shame.
Right.
And that feels like crap.
100%. The audience, though, quarter of a million people. What do you think?
Much higher. 85%.
91%.
Fucking A. Good. And you hear, and it's rare that I bag on the Rotten Tomatoes critics, but when you're talking about a low number of critics in a like on a movie that came out before the platform, I tend to not trust those reviews implicitly anyway, because you're either going back to that movie because you love it or hate it.
Right. Yeah, it's very rare where it's just like, I haven't seen this yet.
Right.
That's what we're for.
That's right.
That's right. What do you think I gave?
I'm going to say you gave it an 8 out of 10.
Close. 7.5.
Wow.
I think it's an enjoyable movie, but really I do acknowledge that it has some flaws.
It's got some stuff going on.
It does.
Yeah.
But what do you got going
on? Oh, I got a movie.
Yeah?
1974.
Ooh.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is another one of Jared's Alphabet Challenge films.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge. I'm Jared, yeah. I fucking love the alphabet, yeah, bitch. My fucking name's Jared.
That's even more spot-on impression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he does the swaying like Sweetums. As we spoke.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
The hypnotic rhythmic undulations.
That's correct.
Sorry, Jared. Watch this on January 25th, 2024. It's 1 hour and 32 minutes. I'm also sorry I'm reviewing this movie, Jared. It is a horror musical directed by the great Brian De Palma, starring the epic Paul Williams. We wouldn't have Muppet movies without him, Jared.
That's right.
William Finley and Jessica Harper. We wouldn't have Suspiria without her. Your summary for this one. A disfigured composer sells his soul for the woman he loves so that she will perform his music. However, an evil record tycoon betrays him and steals his music to open his rock palace, the Paradise.
Rock palaces. Not enough of those.
No. So this movie, have you seen this before?
I don't think so.
So this
I'm familiar with it, but I don't recall seeing
this. So this movie is so good. They have the explanation, how there's like the little bit of setup text sometimes before a movie. This is read by Rod Serling.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And it's wild.
That's a fun get.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And this, it's just like this composer who's doing a big composition about Faust, and essentially it gets heard by the most famous record tycoon on earth, Swan, and he wants to essentially take the Faust composition and turn it into something.
Okay.
He's not sure what, but he wants it to open his brand new theater, his like music mecca called the Paradise. And so instead of having, you know, dealing with this guy directly, he just steals his music because he can. Why not?
Sure. Who's going to stop him?
And then transforms it, and he gets put, the original composer gets put into prison, and then he escapes from prison only to fall into a wet record press trying to sabotage the record release of the Faust composition, and he gets his face smashed in by the vinyl press, and that's so half amazing. His face is disfigured, and he wears this very iconic helmet that you've probably seen. When you see Phantom of the Paradise, it's generally this image of him with like this bird-like helmet that he wears through the movie, and he can't sing anymore because his vocal cords were crushed in the record press accident, so he finds a woman to sing the cantata for him in lieu of him, and so he tries to get it released, and he makes various dealings with Paul Williams in this, who you find out initially sold his soul to the devil, like this wild shit. Just you keep watching it, and it keeps getting crazier and crazier. It's got like Portrait of Dorian Gray, Phantom of the Opera. It's just like this mishmash of all these things.
Right.
But the reason it compels me so much is because the reason that Brian De Palma made this movie was because he was in an elevator and he heard, I don't know the exact music, but he heard the elevator Muzak version of it. Okay. And it just like gutted him. There's just like, you missed the whole point of this song. Like, the song is emotionally moving, and you just turned it into something to pass the time by in an elevator. It couldn't be more hollow. And so he started like to learn about the record industry and made this very like big middle finger to the record industry in the 70s.
It sounds very 1974.
It is super 1974. It's a very cool movie. It's hyper stylized. The music is killer. Like, I would put this in probably my top 10 soundtracks of all time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, this soundtrack crushes, which is no surprise when you have Paul Williams doing it. Like, this is an awesome movie. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But then when you realize that all this flair is put on it, because the concept is it's all the polish that's being put on to these soulless pop songs that were coming out, it totally makes sense. Like, it's just like, man, every part of this was just such a thoughtfully and well-chosen middle finger to the record industry at the time. It's awesome.
It's pretty wild.
No surprise that Brian De Palma would go on to do such epic work. We would start to see right around, like right after this, honestly, like not too long after this, and then into the 80s with some of his more crazy movies.
Right.
But yeah, Awesome movie. I love this movie.
That's pretty cool.
IMDb gives this a 7.3 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 64 critics, 81%.
Okay. Nice.
The audience, 10,000 plus, 84%. And I come in just a touch higher than everybody at 8.5 out of 10.
That's pretty
good. This movie's awesome and unexpected, and you should definitely see it once.
Oh, well, I will make sure I do at some point. Please. It'll probably be a long time from now, so we can get on a rewind, though.
Yes, please.
But I'll get it on there. Well, speaking of things that are great.
Great.
This isn't it.
Uh-oh.
We're going back to 1992. I had bought a book talking about evil doctor movies that I showed you.
Yes.
And I randomly flipped to a page, and this one came up, and I had not seen it, although I was familiar with it, because it had a good advertising campaign, and it was on the back of a lot of comic books at the time.
Okay.
Which is surprising, because this is a pretty gruesome movie.
All right.
Not a great movie, but a gruesome movie. 1992's Dr. Giggles.
Dr. Giggles. Oh, yeah. No, this movie was crazily advertised.
Yes. And I'm like looking at the eyes. Like you see the eyes and I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
And then when I found out who it is, do you remember who is Dr. Giggles?
Is it Larry Drake?
It is Larry Drake. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's Larry Drake. Well, now I got to watch.
Well, Larry Drake is epic. Yeah. We love Larry Drake around here.
Yeah, 100%. Dark Man. I watched this on the 14th. Of February 2024. It's an hour 35.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy, drama, horror, directed by Manny Coto, starring Larry Drake, Holly Marie Combs, and Cliff DeYoung.
Mm.
Your IMDb movie summary: a madman who believes he's a doctor comes to the town where his crazy father was killed and soon begins murdering people and becoming infatuated with a teenage girl who has a heart condition. I swear to God, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's very convoluted. It actually does all make sense in the movie, but it's just bizarre to choose.
It just feels like those were plucked out of a hat.
Yes.
We got to make a movie with and about. Yeah. Like it just feels like ad libs.
Right. So Manny Coto, sadly, he passed away last year, but he actually became better known for writing. He wrote Dexter, 24, and American Horror Story.
Holy
shit. He wrote a ton of episodes of all three of those shows.
That's awesome.
So he got his writing skills in. There's moments in here that are really good, but there's also really stupid moments.
Sure.
Larry Drake is the son of a doctor who kind of lost his shit when he was very young. He was trying to save his wife who had a heart condition, and you know the medicine wasn't as good back then. He was kidnapping people in town and trying to perform open heart surgery on them.
Ah.
Trying to experiment in ways.
Figure it out, yeah.
To figure it out to save his wife. So the townsfolk's eventually just like, what the fuck? And,
yeah.
And a showdown happens and the one cop has to take him out. So years later, similar things start happening. People are like concerned, and there's like it's to the point where it's legend, like, oh man, he's gonna come and get you,
right?
And that kind of thing.
Dr. Giggles.
But he actually does go back to the house. He does break into his old house.
Wow.
Which was a nice big house because he was a doctor.
Yeah.
And like the kids are in there like trying to like make out, and he just murders them.
Sounds right.
But the cop who put his father down is still a cop in this town.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's this great scene, I'll spoil this because this movie is not great. There's this great scene where he explains how the kid got away and no one ever knew. The father took his wife's body, sewed the kid into the body.
Holy shit.
And so he would get taken to the morgue and he could escape.
That's wild.
And it is gruesome because the cop finds this out because the cop is at the morgue when the kid bursts out of the body.
Holy shit.
And it's this 9-year-old looking kid who is covered in blood, who broke out of his mother's actual body. Like, it is one of the more gruesome things I've seen in a horror movie.
Sure.
When you really think about it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's gross.
And it's done very well as far as effects. And the cop's like, and he explains it later because later he reveals, I know that the kid's still alive.
And right.
He goes, no one would have believed me.
Right.
He's like, they just think somebody made a mess of this body and like, you know, vandalizing the morgue or something. He's like, no one would have believed me. He's like, I just let it go. But the girl with the heart condition, of course, he reminds him of his mother.
Right.
I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah. I need to burst out of this woman.
I need to burst right out of her. He tries to kidnap her. He tries to fix her. He doesn't know anything about being a doctor. He's just a psychopath with his dad's old tools.
Right.
He does say very stupid Bugs Bunny style things when he's going to murder people. It's so stupid.
Only Larry Drake could pull that off.
He pulls it off pretty good, but
you can only work with what you're given is the thing.
Right. Well, he did what he could.
Yeah. Larry Drake, great.
Larry Drake, super great. This movie, not. So we'll go to the scores. IMDb gave it a 5.3. The critics, 31 of them gave it 23%.
Sounds right.
So when I hear that, and then I hear Boondock Saints is only 3% better by the critics.
Yeah,
and actually the same amount of critics, ironically. That's bizarre.
Right. Those things just don't correlate.
Right. The audience, 10,000 plus, went for Dr. Giggles, give it a 42%. I'm going to champion this movie. I gave it a 5.5. It had Larry Drake.
It's
a little better.
Good effects, it sounds like, by all measures. Yeah. And I remember the effects being pretty good in this movie.
They were very good.
Yeah.
I don't know who did them, but they were great.
Yeah. Sounds right. Time period, 92, perfect for that.
Yeah. So if you love Larry Drake and you're a Larry Drake completionist, and you should be, check this out.
Absolutely.